Whew. So you see, I mean, I'm not going to start you, but so don't put your clock on. But listen, that's what we do. We move when the Spirit's moving. We don't worry about protocol. We just sense it, and we move with it. And what happens? It's called fruit, right? Amen? Wow. All right. So I know we've gone a while. Have you got a little more in you? Huh? All right. Okay. So this is, if you're ready for round two of the Trifecta Message Series, so this is round two. And to recap, in case you haven't been with us last week, in January, God started me on a path to develop something that was totally new, but he wanted me to develop a training to help us be released with increased confidence in the personal growth and relationship with him. And why? So as to guide our lives within his will for us, but then take that confidence outside this inner sanctuary. And I think I'm supposed to call it whispers and nudges. Go figure. But anyway. So it's kind of like Moses and in the early days of their 40-year pilgrimage, which was supposed to only be 11, by the way, 40 years, Moses said this to God. He said, Lord, I don't want to move forward one step without you going before us. I say amen. But I'm going to add this. Lord, I don't want to go one more day, not one more day without my awareness of your whispers and your nudges in the moments of my life. Not one more day. Amen? So I'm going to attempt as we gather together for these trainings over the, it's going to happen about every month. We'll do one every month. I'm going to attempt to create a tabernacle because it made me aware that a tabernacle is a place where God is revealed. Remember Moses and Joshua and all that? It's where God was revealed. It's also a place, obviously, then where we encourage and we're encountering and we're engaging the divine presence of the King of Glory. And no, I'm not going to erect a tent and get a lot of smoke going. We're not doing that. We're just going to try our best to create the atmosphere. Now, if we're going to leave the upper room with the door closed like Jesus' disciples, and if we're going to walk among those outside to carry the good news to those who need it, then I think we're going to need what the first disciples had. Here's Jesus, dead, risen. They didn't know it. Walked through or walked in or supernaturally blopped in there. And he says to them, two keys to the kingdom. One, he said, shalom. Means peace, means a lot more than that, but that'll work. In you, be in you. Some versions say with you. I think the best version is in you because of what he said next. The next thing that happened was, the Bible says, he breathed. Hebrew word is ruach. The Greek word is pneuma. But here's the best definition that I found. It is air in motion that is necessary for life. Is that cool? So he said, he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not even sure he said that. I think when the breath happened, that's what they knew. Because you know what? They got it. You know why I know? Like last week, I said, look at the disciples before that moment, huddled in the room, door locked. After the moment, 11 of the 12 lost their life just for saying they believed in Jesus. See, I'm saying to you, you must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No options. If you haven't ever received it, if you don't know anything about it, talk to somebody in here. Let us pray with you or go in your own room and pray, but ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you with his Holy Spirit. It's a different thing than being saved. And then let's go together and practice the one thing, Luke 11. So this is the Martha, Mary thing, and Martha's in the kitchen, and Mary's at Jesus' knees, and all of that's happening. Martha comes to complain, and Jesus says this in verse 41. My dear Martha, you are so upset over all of the details. There's really only one thing being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and I'm not going to take it away from her. That's so cool. So that's the one thing. And as I close today, we'll talk about what can you expect if you practice the one thing, because there are. Why can we have expectations? As we engage the Lord doing the one thing, why should we expect it? Why not? Because it's part of the truth. Here's the seven truths that help us understand that we should have an expectation of that moment. First is that Jesus is the wisdom of God. And that's what happens in those moments. Second, God's purpose-filled heart is to reveal his Son. That's what we do when we hang out with the Holy Spirit. God is 100% good. And even if he just gives us a small portion, the rest will come if we just persevere. The Holy Spirit is how you personally receive his wisdom. That's why we can expect it. Five, the word is always absolute truth. Who wouldn't want that? Six, God deserves our reverence, which probably should be number one. And seven, God's will for us is for us to have intimacy with him, which happens there. So why expect? Because you're doing what pleases God. That's why. So what's going on in us if we are struggling to encounter this awesome, loving Creator? Why does it seem so difficult to hear from God, to encounter God, when that's what he says he wants? Why difficult? All right, I'm gonna attempt to give you six reasons why. Probably more. First is that we're just too distracted to even pay attention, like Martha. But not Martha didn't have cell phones and computers and emails. She just had the kitchen. But we've got all of this going on. We got life starting with that, right? But then we've got all this stuff going on to be distracted. Secondly, we're in a hurry somewhere. And we just might rush right by what God's having. In fact, that actually can be a tripping point for us if we're not careful. Because you see, you're going to need patience along the way. And folks, patience is a learned gift. But it can eventually become a weapon. Listen to Psalm 27. Wait patiently for the Lord. Then be brave and courageous. Wait patiently for the Lord. Patience, a weapon. Three, we just haven't learned how to listen. How many of us have taken a course on how to listen? Well, this one will be that, sort of, if the Lord allows. But the Bible says in James, be quick to hear and slow to speak. In fact, let me ask you, is there any real conversation that happens if only one-sided is if it's only one-sided? Somebody comes up to you, and they talk and talk and talk, and then they turn around and leave, and you've said nothing. Is that a conversation? Well, it's not with the Lord either. And fourth, we don't know how to respond, even if we hear from the Lord. But the Bible says today, if you hear from God, don't let your heart be hardened. Six, we have an incomplete, if not distorted, view of the nature of God. Now, if you've come here a while, our pastor really drills down on that in and about all of what he teaches, but a lot of us still do, and therefore, if we have a distorted understanding of his nature, then our experiences will cripple us because they'll take us out of faith because we don't know the real God. Does that make sense? Thank you. Wake up. Okay, so I saved the worst for last. It's pride, which comes before the fall. Right, Eve? Adam? Yeah, it's not good. But let's look at Deuteronomy 8:11. He says, beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God, disobeying his commands, regulations, and laws. For when you have become full and prosperous, have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, that's the time to be careful. What? Do not become proud. Oh, there it is. Do not become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Verse 18. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gave you the power to have everything. And he does it to fulfill the covenant that he made with his ancestors. Do not forget. We must not forget who the Lord really is. And sometimes the dangerous thing is when things are going really great, because then it's all on us. But see, if you don't, you're going to be easily falling for your number one enemy's tactics against you. So God loves being pursued. Why? Because he's a good father. He knows that if you're pursuing him, you're going to be in safety and you're going to be healthy. So to summarize, note that we're distracted, we're in a real hurry, we don't listen, and if we do, we don't respond. We have a distorted view of the true nature of God and old Mr. Pride. So what's the key, a key to a divine encounter, if that's what we're looking for? We had it today, but what's the key? We have to become intentional. It isn't any more complicated than that. You know, sometimes I say, I trust the Lord. Then I go out and I don't act like it. Is it just me? So we're kids of the King, but we're here now and we're here on purpose and we're here for purpose. And we're making a move to change our behavior, right? It's a difficult assignment because you have lived in you a long time. But how important is it? That's the key. What does it mean to be intentional and why? Well, just in the general principles, the studies have shown that you are far more likely to achieve the result that you want if you choose, that's the word, to be intentional along the way. Why? Because it helps you align with your bigger purpose. It's purpose-filled anyway, and it's purposeful with your time and with your energy to help you focus on what you really want. Being intentional builds a positive mindset. If that is all it did, that would be worth it. Amen? But more. It's going to help you be present in the moment. Present in the moment. We're going to talk about this during our training session, but this is really key. You got a glimpse this morning. Bottom line, being intentional gives you greater clarity, greater excitement, and greater joy. Who's not ready for that? So, yes, the truth is it's on each of us to do that. Each of us to do that. No one is responsible for your growth in the faith. No one but you. I want to go back a second to Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to look at it, but that's the faith chapter. But I just realized, listen to some of the things that happened to these guys with faith and tell me what you see in this. Here's some of the words. He offered to God. It pleased God. He built an ark. Different people now. He obeyed without knowing where he was going. He was looking for his inheritance. He was tested. He blessed his sons and then he worshiped. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh and therefore was treated badly. He left his home. They walked between walls of water. They shouted at the Jericho walls. And she welcomed spies. She welcomed the spies. You getting that? These are words of action. Acting on your engagement with the Lord is a key to having that expressed in real time. And by the way, it's not going to surprise us, Jesus modeled it for us all throughout his life in the ministry. One example would be in the wilderness, you know, after his baptism, and his number one enemy and ours began to try to tempt him with a bunch of stuff, and all he did was respond with scripture. Then in verse 11 of Matthew 4, I love this, it says this, and the devil went away. Jesus just wore him out. You know what with? The truth. So I want us to pray together. But first, I want you to listen to the prayer, because I want you to be honest. If you're not ready to pray it, that's fine. God has all the patience in the world. Just relax. But if you want to pray this prayer, then you're going to follow me in a moment. But here's the prayer. Lord, I humble my old self before you, and I say to you, I desire to be more intentional as I walk out my faith life out there. I want to be clear about what you want me to come, and I want more. That sounds like something you want to do. Repeat after me this prayer, but I'm going to ask you to do it in your inner voice, nothing out loud, if you don't mind. Repeat after me, if you're ready. Lord, I humble my old self before you, and I say to you, I desire to be more intentional. And as I walk my faith life out there, I want to be clear about what you want me to become. I want more. I'd suggest using Romans 12, 1 and 2 as sort of a biblical guide. Let's listen to it again. And so, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll accept. And when you think of what he's done for you, is it too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by the changing of the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do. You'll know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. That would be a good one to jot down to use if you want to try to make this move in your life. Because we are going to need to change the way we think about God, but also, folks, about ourselves. See, God tells us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, I don't think like you think, and I don't act like you act. Duh. But, in John 17, 21, this is what Jesus says. My prayer for all of my followers is that they will be one, just as you and I are, Father, one. Just as you and me and I'm in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe you sent me. You know what that sounds like? That Jesus shifted that a little bit for God's kids. Not that we're going to be God, but that we can listen enough to act like him and speak like him, because what? Did Jesus model that? Yes. What did he say while he was on earth? I don't do anything I don't hear the Father saying or see him doing, right? So he gives us permission to receive that. So as we enter this new season, you may find that you've been hearing from the Lord a lot, but you just missed it because you didn't recognize it. Okay, so we're going to talk about how can you better recognize encounters. Because remember, he said, well, I'm the still small voice. Okay, that means we may have to listen a little bit better. But he's not always the still, small voice. Over the last 30 years, with my time every morning at 5 a.m. with Papa, I've had a lot of experiences, a lot. And it's been wonderful, but we have to encounter him when we know he's moving. And I've had a few things that happened. I mean, no levitation and all of that, but I've had a sense in my spirit. I've had my flesh touched. I smelled a fragrance, and I don't wear cologne. Things like that. But let me tell you the truth. In those numbers of years, by far, I heard nothing the entire time I was with him. Whether it was 5 minutes or 2 or 3 hours, nothing. No senses at all. What in the world do you do with that? Well, I got bummed out about it early on, years and years ago. And then the Lord sent me a teaching by Graham Cook called A Hiddenness and Manifestation. It's a book. You can get it. But this is the summary. He said, look, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus shows up in Luke 24. And there's two guys that know him really well. And he shows up, and what happens? They don't even know him. He's right before them. And then he says, as he walked down the road with them, he poured into them the deeper truths of God. So, hey, When I finish my time and I've heard and sensed nothing from God, which is most of the time, I'm excited because God missed my mind. He missed my senses, went direct to my spirit and gave me the deeper truth. Does that make sense? So don't get all bummed out. If you try this and that's what happens to you, it's really good. Now remember, even Peter didn't know he was hearing from God. Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter shouted, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." But he didn't know it. But Jesus told him it was. Okay. But even Peter, then. Now for me, I mean, I love the variety of ways the Lord chooses to communicate. I mean, it's never boring. And we'll talk about some of those in our session because there's a lot of different ways that it can happen. But truthfully, the Holy Spirit's in all of our life experiences, in all of our senses, in all of our feelings as he shares his heart. It may be like a thought in your mind. It may be an inner voice that sounds like yours. That's kind of weird. It may be out loud. You know how many times I've heard God speak out loud to me? Zero. But I have friends that have heard him out loud. And there's a lot of testimonies about being hearing him out loud. And you know, every morning, even this morning, you know what I said? "All right, show up, Lord, I'm ready. If not that, just speak out loud. I'm ready for that. If not that, give me a bright light in here so I know it's you. Or you can introduce me to my guardian angel, but I'm ready." So far, none of those, but am I quitting? Not on your life. Now, we are emotional beings, some more than others, but Papa can use those kind of nudges to have us go toward or away something or someone as he wants, if we're perceptive. Did you know Jesus wept two times? Did you know they were just days apart? The first one was at Lazarus' death, and he wasn't weeping about Lazarus. He knew that deal. He was weeping because of what happened next. The next one, a few days later, he's on a colt headed into Jerusalem. The Bible says he wept. Why? He was going into the city of his people knowing that those same people would put him to death. Emotions are important. And they can be messy, they can be misguided, but they can also be, listen, they can also be redemptive, constructive, comforting, encouraging, and healing. And this may be challenging if you're a rookie at this. If you've never really done this before, it's okay. And you may say, "Well, I don't know. Is this God? Is that God? When do I get out of the boat? Do I actually engage this person?" Don't worry about it. It's called practice. I've seen my Carol, my bride of 53 years next Tuesday, by the way. So, yeah, she's a trooper, let me tell you. But anyway... I've seen her in this role. So when I was in one of our churches, I wanted a staff position filled, and I've been praying like crazy. And this guy started showing up. I like the guy, so I got acquainted with him, and he had the entire package I was looking for. And he was good looking, and he had a great personality. I told Carol, I think this may be the one. She said, "Man, I just don't feel good around him." And inside, I said, "Well, get over it." But anyway. I said, "I'm going to interview him." And I interviewed him, and I told Carol, I said, I'm going to invite him on board. She said, "Well, I just don't feel good about him." I said, "Okay." So I hired him, and 6 months later, I fired him. And it was a mess. It was horrible. So some of us need to still learn along the journey, learn to trust others too, right? But we can have things like pictures in our mind, or maybe movie scenes or visions or words written in crazy places, and I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that the Lord can let himself be known, and we're going to share some of those when we do the training. But another time for Carol, I was preaching, and then they invited us to come pray for the people. We went down, and this lady approached Carol, and as she approached, I saw Carol kind of looking around. I knew something was up, and she said, "Ma'am," she said, "when you stepped up, I saw pencil leads breaking off a whole bunch of pencils. Does that mean anything to you?" And the lady collapsed right on the floor. When she got up, she said in a trembling voice, "Well, the Lord has been on me for a long time to write my story down as a way of healing, and I've just been refusing. But no more." Like I said, we can have some fun. You see, all of these gifts are trained. They're not automatic just because you're a kid of the King. You got to do something to enact them, to engage them. And then they're to be used outside of where you are, wherever that might be. You got to be prepared. You got to be prepared to ask the question, "I think this might be God at the moment." And be willing to miss it. Last story. So we got a call from one of my best friends here in town, and he asked us to come to the hospital because his a few month old grandson died. Come to find out when we got there that his drug addicted mother rolled over on him at night, and he was dead. But on the way, I was talking to Carol, and we were talking back and forth, and I had, and she did too, the greatest faith we've ever had in our life, almost trembling. We knew the kid was coming back. I mean, we knew it. We never had that much faith in anything. And we asked, "Do you mind if we go and pray over this boy?" He said, "No." So we went in the room, took him in our arms, and we prayed for I don't know how long. Nope, he's still in heaven. But is that going to stop me? Nope, it's not. You see, the key is intimacy with Papa. You know why? Because when you're that way, you get his rhythm, you get his mind, you get his heart, and then the Holy Spirit can become your counselor, the Holy Spirit can become your teacher, because he's always ready. So intimacy is a process. Intimacy brings infusion. Infusion brings initiation, which brings fruit. Infusion, initiation, and then fruit. So we'll talk about that. But let me just tell you this. It's going to take an effort for you to do all this. And we're not talking about just having a relationship with the Lord. We're talking about having one in the Lord. The Lord as one. So that when you walk out there, you and he are as one. It might even change along the way as the Lord works with you, a little shift in how you interpret Scripture. I'll give you one example for me. So the one that you know of, tell the truth in love. All right, that's a good one. We've used it as permission to go to somebody we're struggling with and tell them the truth of how wrong they are. But the Lord showed me, what if it could mean this? What if it could mean that I can tell them the truth about who they are in Christ? That I could tell them the truth of how Jesus looks at them? That I could tell them the truth that how much he desires to do things in their lives. And then that moment becomes redemptive. And what if we were able to share the nature of God, not as much in words as in who we are becoming? And by the way, if you want to know a description, there's many of them. A description of the nature of God is what I call the wedding chapter. It's 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody uses it in all their weddings, and they should. It's a good description, right, of love. But go back and read it. We're not going to do it today. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13 because it is a description of the nature of God. But it all starts with your morning time with the Lord. And I'd recommend no other time but that. You can have others after that, but you need to start there because that's when the day starts. 5 minutes would be fine to start with. But the Lord wants to build intimacy with you. So here's the process. Intimacy leads to infusion. What's infusion? It's the introduction of a solution into your bloodstream that produces healing. To be infused means to be filled with a substance that improves your quality of life. So, intimacy is like that syringe that pours God's character, God's substance into you. And it improves your life so that you can go out and improve others. And next, that leads to initiation, which is the act of starting something, the beginning of releasing that infusion. The key word there, again, is act. It's an action that leads to transaction, which is taking people through something to get beyond something for good purposes, which leads to the result of fruit. Like we saw this morning. Intimacy. Intu-me-si. That's what we're asking God. And then he wants us to see into him as well. It's a both and thing. We have both things. And we're called to God not for a monologue, but for a dialogue. Sometimes that's the way it is with us. We go to God and we start all our needs and our cares, or we're intercession and we're praying for somebody else. We hang up the phone and we leave. And he doesn't have a chance. You don't give him a chance. It's a dialogue. Let him talk sometime. Let him move you sometime. Let him have senses with you sometime. We are called into the sacred dance, as we call it. But for that to happen, for that sacred dance to happen, you're going to have to do two things. First, you're going to have to move closer to the Lord so that, number two, you can open your arms wide in full submission and let your groom and you embrace one another so he can lead you in the dance where he wants you to go, gliding to and fro in this beautiful wedding waltz right into your future. That sound good? So Jesus said, only one thing is important. By the way, I'm the one thing. It's about relationship. And if we're willing and if we're ready for the one thing dance, then let's step up to our groom. Let's move as one toward our future. And let's leave trails of blessing behind us. So what can we expect if we are willing to be ready for the one thing? Well, I have prepared a sheet, and it's going to be in the coffee shop for you, and it's free, so take it home, because it's going to have all the expectations that I found. There are probably more. Each one of them has a scripture. Just reading one a day would be pretty cool of what you can expect from God if you will do the one thing. So why not engage? That's the topic for today, because I believe that you and I, we have the answer. And they out there, they have the questions. So let me just ask, what if Mary's story could be yours? We could say with her, you know, I'm not brave. I'll never be. The only thing my heart can offer is a vacancy. So, hey, let's be born again.